STR podcasts are brought to you through the generous support of people just like you. You can support these podcasts by making a gift online at str.org or by phone at 1-800-2-REASON.
You can press it. Hey, this is STR Ask. I'm Melinda the Enforcer, and we have a surprise, a treat this week. It's not Greg, because you don't hear any laughing, which he always starts the show with laughing. It's Brett Kunkel.
That's right. This is a treat.
For you or for us?
Oh, I meant for me, of course.
Oh, well, good. I'm glad to hear that. Okay. It's a treat for us. Okay, so this is the same format for STR Ask, hashtag STR Ask, because that's how you send your questions to us on Twitter. Tweet using STR Ask, and the podcast is short answers, same questions. Brett's on a timer.
One word answers? Not that short.
Couple words. You got 4 minutes, no more. So, are you ready?
I'm ready.
There's no stupid joke you want to make or anything?
I don't know stupid jokes. All my jokes are good.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, first question comes from Fix Your Eyes. How does a convo between saved by grace through faith alone and the rules in the New Testament go?
I think with a simple distinction. I think we make a distinction between justification and sanctification. I think that kind of captures this. Justification is saved by faith through grace, or saved by grace through faith, right? And so works are not a part of that, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. That's justification. Justification is something external to us, right? It's God declaring us righteous in Jesus. And then sanctification, and I think actually a lot of this gets mixed up a lot in churches, and you kind of hear, at least I hear people and even pastors kind of throw works under the bus sometimes, or kind of characterize works almost in a legalistic sense. And I think there's not this careful distinction. Sanctification is distinct from justification. Sanctification is internal. It's the internal work of the Holy Spirit where we are sanctified for good works. And so this is where rules of the New Testament are very important, because these are the things that require our effort. Right, so in justification, there's no effort on our part. There's no earning. In sanctification, there is effort, and our effort in partnership, I think, with the Holy Spirit, leads to a sanctified life, holiness. And so I work hard to know the rules of the New Testament and to live by those things. And of course, it's the Holy Spirit is working in that whole process. But I think that kind of, for me, helps me to distinguish between, okay, salvation, justification, nothing I can do to earn this. Works play no role in this. However, works do play a role. The rules of the New Testament play a role in my sanctification. And of course, they provide a path forward in my sanctification. I know that there are certain things I should not do.
And things you should do.
And things that I should do. And there's no conflict between that and my salvation solely on the work of Christ.
Yeah, the living a life that glorifies God isn't to commend ourselves to Him. It's to glorify Him.
That's right. I think that's a really good point, because in both cases, the glory goes to God.
Mm-hmm.
So even though there's effort in following God's commands and to living a virtuous life or practicing spiritual disciplines that result in greater holiness, that doesn't mean that I get any of the credit in that. That's still the Holy Spirit working in me and through me. And so, yeah, all the glory goes to God in both justification and sanctification.
Yeah. I mean, I think the more we reflect on what God has done to save us while we were still sinners, and reflect on what it cost Jesus to save us, I think a natural response to that more and more is to live a life that would please Him.
Yeah.
As you would anybody you love and who you owe a huge debt to. But we're not paying off the debt. But it's in response to that. It changes us.
Mm-hmm. And that, and I, yeah, it just as a parent child, I mean, think about as I've grown older and I've my appreciation, my understanding of what my parents have done for me, my appreciation for them grows. I want to honor them more. Mm-hmm. I want to do things that are that please them, and honor them. Not because I want to earn their love. No, I already know I have that. But I know there's this honoring, and there's this kind of this natural response to want to do that. So I think it's similar.
Yeah. And I was just thinking. I think there's an article on the website, but we also have a CD that Greg's done, Paul versus James, Faith or Works, Paul versus James, where he works out this supposed contradiction, which isn't a contradiction at all.
Right.
And the justify is used in a couple different ways. Justify to make right. Mm-hmm. That's what God does when he saves us. But then but justify can also means prove it. And so we're proving what he's done in our lives.
Yep.
Next question. In addition to STR, what apologetics podcasts do you recommend?
Okay, so
do you listen to others? Do you listen to this one?
I do. I of course, especially when I host. the key phrase there is in addition to STR, because STR has a multitude of wonderful audio resources. But there are a number of good podcasts out there. And probably most of our listeners will be familiar with Reasonable Faith. So William Lane Craig's podcast. And not only does he have Reasonable Faith, but then he also has the Defenders class.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a recording of the class that he teaches at his home church. So so Reasonable Faith actually has those two podcasts that are, I think, really, really good. I like Bill's Reasonable Faith podcast. That he keeps it, you know, typically around 20 minutes. And so it's kind of, you know, nice and bite-sized. I can listen to it in the car. So those are good resources. I think Jim Wallace's
Cold Case Christianity
is a good podcast. One that I enjoy that's a little more lengthy, it takes a little more time to listen to, would be Unbelievable. I don't listen to every single one of those podcasts, but I've really enjoyed Unbelievable because they get Justin Brierley gets two opposing views, and or he gets two people to represent an opposing views on a particular topic, and so it's, I really like the kind of the back and forth, the debate, the conversational kind of debate that he has there, and he's a great host, and plus I just love listening to that, you know, that accent. I think Cross Examined. Mm-hmm. Frank has a good podcast. He always has a lot of great guests, Frank Turk. Ravi Zacharias, I'm not sure if he has more than just, I think there's one called Just Thinking. Oh, I think there's two. There's Just Thinking, which are short, real short pieces. And then there's, I think, Slice of Infinity, which is kind of their, I think, 20 minutes or so of their radio show. It's like a 30-minute broadcast or something with commercials. So that's another one. One thing I was just thinking about, the one thing I do, there's certain speakers that I really like. And so I love listening to J.P. Moreland.
Mm-hmm.
So on the podcast app, what I'll do is just do a search for J.P. Moreland.
And find interviews with him.
Find interviews, find him speaking at different churches that they put on their podcast. So that's one thing I like to do. So, you know, I've done that with Gary Habermas too.
Mm-hmm.
It's just finding Gary in interviews and things that he's done. But so that's a list. If you actually Google, I think like top someone put together, maybe it was Apologetics 315, put together like top 100 podcasts, I think. And so they listed just,
boy, that's a lot of podcasts.
Yeah, hundreds of apologetics podcasts. So there's a lot out there. Reasons to Believe. They've got several different podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Ken Samples has his own. I forgot what it's called. Just Thinking. No. It's ours.
Something
about thinking.
Reflections.
No,
that's his art. That's his blog.
Oh, maybe.
Okay. Well, I don't. That's his blog. I'm not sure if it's his podcast.
Yeah. So those are some of the ones that I think of off the top of my head that I think are good podcasts.
Another one, a friend of ours, Brian Seagraves, his podcast Unapologetic. I enjoy that. He's always got a clever take on things. So, okay, there we go. Why don't we take a moment here and talk about Rethink.
Yes.
Just a moment.
If you,
this is the short podcast. You can't go on forever.
If you haven't heard of Rethink, you need to go to rethinkapologetics.com.
You haven't been paying attention.
That's right. You can go to rethinkapologetics.com and check it out. It is our conference, an apologetics conference for students. That's our target audience. Junior high, high school, college. Adults ask us if they can come. We say yes, as long as you bring a kid. And so bring a kid from your youth group, bring your own kid, whatever. But we do have parents and youth leaders who come, and it is, I say this with all confidence, it is the premier youth apologetics conference in the nation. And we've gotten great response. We've grown from 400 in Southern California to 1,500 last year. And I think that's just because it's such a great resource.
Mm-hmm. And so we have them, I don't know if you should say, we have one this fall, we have two this fall, one in Orange County, one in Dallas.
That's right, September 23rd and 24th in Southern California, Orange County, Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. And then October 21st and 22nd in Dallas, Texas, at North Dallas Community Bible Fellowship. And then 2017, Birmingham is going to be hosting one in the spring in April. And all those details are at rethinkapologetics.com.
Great. Next question. Give a clear definition of logic. And is there any response or claim I can make to give clarity to absolute truth while showing that the rules of logic can apply to every individual, even with different worldviews?
Okay, a clear definition of logic might be simply the rules that govern human thought and communication. That might be a simple, kind of a simple definition, and then we'd point to what those things are, things like the law of non-contradiction, things like a law of excluded middle. And now that second part was... Can you repeat that?
Is there a way to make the case that for objective truth, showing that all worldviews, all religions, everyone everywhere follows logic, even when they claim not to?
Uh-huh. Well, I think you can make a case for objective truth with the laws of logic, because let's see, how would you do this? Well, number one, all human communication presupposes like the law of non-contradiction. So for someone to say, to deny the law of contradiction, they have to presuppose the law of non-contradiction to even do that, right? So in the same way, if someone were to deny truth, to say there is no truth, right? Well, they're making a truth claim. The law of non-contradiction would kind of would help us understand that claim itself is self-refuting, right? Because as you make the claim there is no truth, you are asserting something you take to be true, and that it can't be the case that there is no truth and that there is truth at the same time in the same way. So this violates the law of non-contradiction. So it's self-refuting. So
how about if they said there is one truth that there is no truth?
They said there is one truth.
And that is, there is no truth.
Oh, I guess. Let's see. I guess you could assert that
there is no other truth.
It seems like I don't know. It seems like that would entail other truths.
Well, and pretty quickly out of their mouths come other truths.
Right, right. But even that claim, there is. I'm just trying to think of what other entailments there might mm-hmm. be that kind of come along with that. And certainly they won't. They certainly don't live that way. So that's one way, and I think in terms of showing other views, I think other views. Well, I think all communication is governed by the rules of logic, and so every worldview making claims, supporting those claims in different ways, they're all. All communication is governed by these laws of logic. So if someone says, for the Muslim who says that God is Unitarian, right? Well, the law of logic tells us then that means that on their view, God is not Trinitarian. That's just the implication based upon the laws of logic, the law of non-contradiction. So I think just as we communicate, we prove logic in a sense. Logic is just it's the furniture of the universe, or maybe the furniture of communication. You
and
can't,
thought.
Yeah, and thought. And you can't have any kind of coherent communication or thought without these things already in place. So a person who wants to deny, you know, like the laws of logic, are they're going to end up using the laws of logic to deny them. So again, like if you want to say, well, you know, something like, well, this is Western logic, something like that, and we follow Eastern logic. So you're employing the law of non-contradiction there. So mm-hmm. It's not this, it's that. So, but just using the laws of logic, you can establish objective truth.
Yeah, you just mentioned objective truth. I was just going to kind of a little bit of terminology here. The questioner actually had put it, you know, absolute truth. Mm-hmm. And we try to be careful with some of these terms, absolute truth and objective truth, because absolute basically implies that it's can't be trumped, it can't be changed, you know, especially with moral truths. And we do believe in a hierarchy, and sometimes you truly have moral dilemmas. Mm-hmm. So it's better to talk about objective truth, things that are, you know, objective out there. It's truly part of true truth.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, yeah, absolute can come with some of that baggage where you might think, well, if it's absolute, then it means there's no exceptions. And mm-hmm. What if you've got two competing moral duties? What do you do there? It would be wrong to lie to somebody to save, you know, someone's life, kind of the classical example. And so that's part of the problem with it. And I also think that people import some epistemological baggage in terms of, well, absolute communicates some kind of certainty.
Right.
So absolute certainty is kind of imported in. So, yeah, we don't like to use that term absolute for those reasons.
Yeah, because sometimes people will, when we're making the metaphysical claim about objective truth, people will then pull up the epistemological objection. Well, then what are they? Well, you don't have to point to what they are. And talking about absolute truth sort of implies that certainty that I know what all the truths are.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, great. Well, thank you, Brett. That was helpful.
That's
appreciate it.
It.
Just for this segment, you got another episode coming up.
Oh, shoot.
Well, you're halfway through. You should be, yay!
Yay, I mean, yay.
I get to do
this. The pressure's on. There's so much pressure.
It's only 4 minutes. Well, that's it for this week. Send us your questions on Twitter using hashtag STRAsk, the name of the podcast. It's 2 episodes a week. We post them on Mondays and Thursdays. I'm Melinda the Enforcer with Brett Kunkel for Stand to Reason.
You've been listening to Stand to Reason. Our podcasts are made possible by friends of this ministry through their generous support. You can support STR by making a gift online at str.org.